kicked around all week what to speak on. Had David and Goliath. Didn't Dan do a nice job building Goliath? He looks pretty serious. We've had him up here and over here covered. I don't know that I've seen one of those built before. Dan, that's the first. But I've been thinking all week about the story of David and Goliath, and I've had three messages on that from 1 Samuel 17. But I know it's Mother's Day, and no pressure to preach on mothers necessarily, but just felt there was a tie together there. And I want to give a real simple message. Don't know how long we'll go this morning. Try not to keep you too long. I know people have things going on Mother's Day. What I want to say this morning, I feel like is really, really important. Don't know that it'll be terribly long. Virginia, my mother, incredible woman. How many here knew my mom? I know there's some here. She died in 2000, and I was privileged to have her funeral. Mom and Dad were very unusual in that in the days of their life when most people are relaxing and moving to Florida or going fishing and retiring, they went to a third world country. And Daddy was riding a donkey in Haiti in his 70s. Interesting, but incredible people. I'm privileged. To whom much is given, much is required. People often say that I set high standards for myself, but I've been given some advantages that others don't have. My mother and father were incredible Christians. I was wayward as a young man, as many of you know, and I think that's why I have a heart for people who go astray. And God has used that for good. But my parents were incredible mentors, and I had a mother that is off of the charts. And I have appreciated in these years of loss of my mother, and she's in heaven, of inheriting Mary Poland as my second mother, who has actually taken on my mother's, I'll almost say, her spirit at times. I don't know exactly what was going on, but there's a couple times in my life when Mary has come to me, and she had the fire of my mother, and she shook her finger in my face, which she doesn't normally do, and she told me what I needed to do, and I needed to do it now. I remember one very low time in my life after the leukemia when we were going through a very difficult situation in our family with one of our children. Wasn't ready to give up, wasn't ready to leave the ministry, anything like that. But I was very, very discouraged, and Mary came to the house in the spirit of my mother. Gave me some very strong encouragement. Appreciate the people God has brought into my life. May I say to you this morning that God brings people into your life that aren't coincidence. I've had people come into my life that were life-changing how God used them. Anybody relate? Yeah. I've had people come into my life that it was life-changing what happened. And sometimes they were just there for a brief time. Sometimes it's a brief encounter. You know, we're kind of business-minded, you know, we think that you go and you get a job and you work there for 60 years and then you draw retirement, and we kind of think business in church. But in the book of Acts, God was moving those guys all the time. There was always something new He was doing, and there's seasons when God will be dealing with you in a certain way. Maybe there's something you'll glean from me as a minister, but maybe God will move you to a point. There's something else. There's something missing in you that He knows that maybe I can't give you. You know, I'm open to that. Maybe there's something that He can give you that I can't. And that doesn't mean good or bad. It's just that we're all made differently, and God puts us together. And iron sharpens iron. And God brings people into your life. I had an incredible mother, an incredible cheerleader. I actually changed this title. I had Virginia the Giant Killer. And Pam, I knew Mom would have a fit. She's liable to come up out of her grave. She'd say, "Don't you dare say Virginia. It was the Lord in me." She would always straighten you out if you gave her credit for anything. If you told her she did a nice job baking pies, she would say, "I'm glad that God gives me ideas and the strength." She would always hand off to the Lord and acknowledged her. And so I retyped that on my iPad and put "empowered by Jesus" so that Mom wouldn't visit me this afternoon and get after me. I got more spanking. That's back when they would let you do that. And I'm not so sure that didn't work with me. But Mom loved you to pieces and she would die for you. But I'll tell you what, if you broke one of God's commandments, you paid dearly. You paid dearly. If you told a lie, if you cheated, you stole, you mistreated someone, you paid dearly. And she made sure you got your money's worth. But it gave me some values that I live by today. And an incredible woman of God, Virginia the Giant Killer, a woman totally devoted to Jesus, filled with Jesus. What do you desire in your heart? What do you want to be? What is it that you want to be? I want you to think about that something this morning. Think about that some this morning. The giants in our lives, we need people raised up. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains, we just sang. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more that I can be. Boy, do we have a day and age of giants, and they're 9 feet tall like Goliath. They're 9 feet tall and they're shouting at us. They're shouting at us. This is a day of many, many giants. Virginia, empowered by Jesus, was a giant killer. Wow, did I lose a cheerleader when she died? She was an encourager. I want to be an encourager. I want to be the sweetest old man you ever met. I believe Brian has in his office, I may misquote it a little bit, but he says, are you a fountain or a drain? Are you a fountain or a spring, it may say, I'm not sure. Are you a fountain or a drain? Mom was an incredible cheerleader. When her health was of such that she couldn't be in Haiti any longer, she sat right over here where Pam is sitting. And Mom didn't realize it, but the whole time you were preaching, she was moving her mouth. Does anybody remember that? Don, you probably remember that. Mom would move her mouth along with you. And she was so intense, I didn't get any of that in my genetics. She was so intense that when she would sit there on the second row and you were speaking, she was leaned forward and she was just nodding. And I didn't realize the encouragement that was as I spoke. And she was there and I was so honored to be their pastor in their older years when they came home from Haiti, and was privileged to have both of their funerals with help of others, of course. A tremendous encouragement. I received a phone call on December 23rd. Of 2000. I don't know how good your memory is, but obviously that's 19 years ago, and we were in the middle of a snowstorm. Mom seldom called, but she called, and her voice was strained on the phone, and she said, Tom, could you come over? I'm sick. I thought, oh boy, she is sick, or she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't call in the middle of the night. Mom would never bother you for anything. And I drove over, drove a little Dodge Neon we had at the time, and I actually got stuck a little ways down from the house. It was right over here on 450 North where Vince lives. They were there on that property. And I got stuck down the road, and I actually ran to the house in the snow, and snow was blowing. Little did I know that that night, Mom would go to be with Jesus. I went in the house and went up to her, and she was talking in a real raspy voice. After doctor looking her over, they believed she had congestive heart failure, but she'd had the flu. But they believe it went into congestive heart failure. And I said, Mom, what can I do? How can I help? And she said, can you get me back to the bathroom? And they lived in a 12 by 65 mobile home there on that acre of land. And Pam and I had been able to provide that for them. When they came up from Haiti, so they'd have a place to live. And worked out nicely. They were next to us. We could look after them. You could see it from here, actually. And she said, can you get me back to the bathroom? She was just a little short German lady. Her maiden name was Virginia Alma Beaverforden. Grandpa Beaverforden, Clarence Beaverforden, came over from Germany. And he had 8 daughters, and she was one of them. And they were beautiful girls. They were beautiful girls, little German girls. But Pam short too. Mom was real short, so I could put my chin on top of her head. And I got her up, I leaned down, she was there on the couch, she said, I need to get back to the bathroom. And I leaned down, I got my hands behind her, this took quite a little bit, and I got her up, and I could see she was pretty trembling, and I said, Mama, and I had my face right by her ear, and I said, Mama, put your feet on top of mine. So we were face to face, and she put her feet on top of mine. And then I put my arms around her, and I squeezed her, and I said, no, I'm going to walk backwards, hon, and you walk with me. The good, good Father. Little did I know, the Lord was letting me give my mother a 3-minute hug before she went to be with the Lord. Because she died about 3 minutes after that. Don't miss God. Don't miss God in stuff that's happening. Did I want to lose my mom that day? No. Did I want to face that giant? No. But the good, good Father is there. Sometimes we're blinded to it by the ugly circumstances we've had in our life. I understand that. And I'll get to the ugly circumstances in a minute. She stood on top of my feet, and I put my arms around her and held her up close, and we walked through the kitchen, past the refrigerator, down the hall very, very carefully, and I got her to the bathroom. Mom was a very modest person. She said, I'll take it from here. I went to call John Reese. John and Kathy Reese have been precious friends for years and years, and I called John Reese because I knew that John had just bought a new Dodge pickup truck, four-wheel drive, and I thought, he could get over here, and he's gutsy enough, he'll do it. We've got to get Mom to the hospital. Because I knew I was stuck in the road. And so I was on the phone to John when she aspirated. Yes, kids are upstairs, vomited, and choked on it. When I got back to her, she's pretty much gone, but I tried to get her throat open and couldn't. That wasn't pretty. Life deals out some pretty tall, ugly things sometimes, and after they happen, the giant will shout, that isn't fair. And it isn't fair in a way, because this is a cursed world. You know, God made us and put us in a beautiful garden because that's where he wanted us, and then mankind made the choice to go their own way, and God turned away because he can't look on sin, and he's pure and holy, and he said, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. All through the Old Testament and the prophets, he called out, come back to me, come back to me, but no, they were determined to go their own way. We'll go our own way. We're going to do our own thing. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Ever heard that before? I've said that. Nobody's going to tell me. And God kept calling through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Mike, he kept calling, come back to me. In Isaiah, he said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. And he calls, and he calls, and he calls, and he calls, but man kept saying no. And so the ultimate was when the good, good Father said, okay, you won't come to me, so I'll come to you. And he sent Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Simple but powerful, powerful, powerful story. I got lost. I went off on a tangent. Yes, thank you. See, I need a vacation. I need to ride a horse for a few days. My mother aspirated. Sometimes things happen. Here it is. The giant will shout. That's where I was. The giant will shout, this isn't fair. And life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. This is a cursed world. God never intended for this world to be in the mess it's in. But you see, he gave us the power of choice. And humanity chose the wrong way. I don't want a wife that has to love me. I want a wife that chooses to love me. We're made in the image of God. He wants us to choose him. The choice was made to go the other way, and we've paid the consequences. Honestly, did I think my wonderful godly mother, who I thought had a halo, Did I think that she would die strangling on her own vomit? Sorry. No. No, I didn't think that would happen. I thought a chariot of fire, Andy, would show up. I thought that it would be like Elijah, and I'd probably hear the snorting of horses, and I would look out the window, and there would be horses, white horses, snorting with a chariot to take my mom off to heaven. It wasn't pretty. I don't understand all that, but I know that the good, good Father let me give her a 3-minute hug. And I know that she was a giant in faith, and that took down the giants in her life. Pam, would you agree that if there's anything we learned from Mom, it was faith? Mom was all about faith. She would not let you doubt. If you said to her, you know, oh, all is lost, and begin to be negative, she was into reality. She'd say, yes, I know there's some hard problems. Honey, I know there's some difficult problems. I know right now there's some hard things you're going through. But the Lord, she'd do this. She'd say, but the Lord, she'd clap her hand, is going to see us through. That's how you take down a giant. That's how you take down your giant. It's okay to be into reality. I'm not into denial. Sometimes we're in a bad situation. And so we don't look at it and say, oh no, this is wonderful. No, it's a bad situation. I'm into reality. But she was a woman of faith and commitment. What do you want to be? And as I sat there on the floor beside her after she died, and I was unable to get her throat open, and she was a mess, and I took her, kids are upstairs, limp, dead body, and laid her in the recliner. I'll never forget it. Just me and her there. And I sat down on the floor, called the undertaker, Tom Leedy. They had to plow the road. So we sat there for about an hour and a half waiting on the road to be plowed and the doctor to come out and everything. And God just provided all that. But as I sat there alone beside her on the floor saying, Lord, I never thought this is how this would happen. God said to me as plain as anything, next to you was a powerful woman of faith. Will you trust me with this? Will you trust me with this? I cannot tell you the messages and lessons and examples I have given to people in the last 19 years from that experience. When they were going through something that they thought, this is horrible. And I was able to say, I understand a little bit. I understand a little bit. I don't know what all the Heavenly Father is doing or why He lets things go certain ways. I don't understand all of that. But I know that we call it faith for a reason. And that day on the floor, the Lord said to me, trust me with this. And I gave it to Him. And I've had peace with it ever since. She was a woman that was sold out to Christ. Going to be a dancer as a young woman. Beautiful young German girl. Long blonde hair. Was going to be a dancer. Was being trained by an older woman to be a dancer. And never will forget Mom telling her testimony when she went to a church service in Fort Wayne and she gave her heart to the Lord. I've heard her tell her testimony numerous times. And she made an incredible commitment to the Lord. An incredible commitment. Notice the word commitment to the Lord. She was incredibly committed to Daddy. Daddy was a preacher and traveling evangelist throughout our lives growing up, and then in his elderly years went to Haiti, as I said earlier. She was tremendously committed to him and the family. What do you want to be? I'm going somewhere with this. She was a woman of prayer. Tremendous woman of prayer. My wife is a woman of prayer. She doesn't want credit or anything said, but I want to say that on Mother's Day, my wife has become an incredible prayer warrior. I used to speak of mother as a prayer warrior, but as Pam's gotten older, Pam has become the prayer warrior that my mother was. What are you becoming? I want you just to assess that today. What do you want? In a world of sensuality and in a world of materialism and in a world of pride and what do you want to be? The good father can work in your life in an incredible way. And if you start with that commitment, Virginia sold out to the Lord as a young woman. She left her career. I remember her telling it with tears running down her face that she went to the woman who was training her in dancing. She said, I feel like God wants me to be in some kind of ministry, and I want to leave this. I want to leave this lifestyle. God calls you to leave the lifestyle from the past and to take you to a new land, a new place. But it's not just asking for forgiveness of your sins. Oh, that's essential. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Anyone that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation, coming to Jesus Christ, accepting the gift of salvation given on the cross and being forgiven, that's the beginning of the journey. But he wants to bring us to a place of total commitment to him. It's a new lifestyle. It's saying, I'm going to put that stuff behind me. Yes, that was my life. But that's not me anymore. And I remember Mom telling the story with tears running down her face many, many times in church services and to people one-on-one that she left that lifestyle and went to the woman who she had grown to love, was like a mother to her, a second mother, and was training her. And my mom was a real dramatic person and definitely would have been done well in acting and performing, no question about it. She was... Even to the day of her death, she was a great storyteller, and Mom couldn't talk to you without getting up out of her chair and walking around and talking with her hands. And she was a very interesting person. I could see she would have done very well, but I remember her saying when God said, I want you to leave that lifestyle and what that's all about, and I want to take you a new place. And she became a woman of prayer. I challenge you this morning. We live in the days of the return of Jesus. I believe we live in that period, that season of the last days, and we're on the eve of the return of Jesus Christ, and we're facing some giants. And I'm not going to talk all morning about the giant, but I did want to stand him up here again because I think motherhood and being a godly woman in our day and age, you've got some giants you're facing. Please don't take this as a negative statement, but I wouldn't want to be starting out raising young kids today. We had enough trials in the time period we are. But I'm telling you, stand up to it. Stand up to the challenge. If God's blessed you with precious little ones, stand up to the challenge. But there's some giants in our world today. And I don't want to get off on this or I'll never shut up. But you isn't our country, Mike, did you ever dream in our lifetime? We went to school together back in the 1800s. Brian or Mike and I were in school together. Did you ever dream we'd see what we're seeing in our lifetime, some of the changes? This next election, you've never seen mudslinging like you're going to see in this next one. You've never seen degrading a character and what's going to happen in this next one. Things are going south. Things are going south. And I'm telling you, we're facing some giants in our world. But I'm going to tell you something. Virginia was a giant killer, and you can be one. And you can take them down. And we've had three messages on this. You know the story well in 1 Samuel 17. David came out. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. He couldn't. You got to be who you are. You're not Virginia. You're not Pam. You're not on it goes. You can pick. You're not these folks. But God will take who you are and take your five stones in your shepherd's bag and who you are. And he'll take down the giants in your life. He'll take them down one at a time. Patty, is that truth? We had a rejoicing session at Patty's house. And that song, for the rest of my life, when we sing that song, Allie and Brian and I sing it, You Redeem, He'll Return What's Been Stolen From You, I'm telling you, I never saw anything like it in my life. And I know Patty's not wanting credit or glory, but in some of the hardest times of her life, she was here in this church service praising the Lord. And I knew what she's going through. And I'd say to Pam, I said, I have to hand it to that lady. I don't know if I could stand up and give praise in the middle of that mess. And she just kept it up. And I'm not bragging on you. I'm saying that to challenge other people. If you'll take the Word of God and believe it and sit by your mom when she threw up and choked on it, you don't understand that, and say, Lord, that's okay. I surrender. I give everything to you. I belong to you. I trust you. He'll bring you out on the other side, and he'll give you back what's been stolen. Hollis, is that right? He'll give you back what's been stolen from you. I want to tell you this morning that some of you here, there's things you've lost in life, and he wants to give it back to you. You hear me? He wants to give it back to you. Now, do you remember in 1 Samuel, and you should, because we preached on it 3-4 Sundays about the giant. If you remember the story that David told to Saul, he said, I was watching, because in fact, let me just read just a little bit of that. 1 Samuel 17. David said to Saul, don't worry about this Philistine giant. I'll go and fight him. And I'm reading from the NLT. I like this. Saul said, don't be ridiculous. That's probably what I said. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're just a boy. This Philistine has been a man of war since his youth. Now listen. David persisted. Notice that word. David persisted. I was taking care of my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came to steal a lamb from the flock. I go after it with a club. I rescued the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. If I did this with a lion and a bear, I can do it with this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. And Saul consented. Vince, there's something we don't want to miss in here as leaders. Saul consented and said, all right, you go ahead and the Lord be with you. There's something we don't want to miss here. I have written in my Bible on post-it notes here. This is awesome. Look how quick, fear is a liar, look how quick fear was dispelled by speaking faith. 2 minutes ago, Saul was saying, oh, don't be ridiculous. You're going to go fight that guy. Don't be an idiot. He's been a man of war all his life, and you're going to go out there. You're just a kid. And all he did was tell a simple lion and bear story. Well, I went out there, and they grabbed one of my father's sheep, and it was scary. But I rolled up my sleeves and thought, man, I'm supposed to be in charge of the sheep. Lord, help me. And I grabbed him and hit him and smacked him, and he gave it back. He said, then a bear came, and well, what would that take to tell? 2 minutes? And Saul said, okay, you go ahead and the Lord be with you. You get the message in that. Fear can be dispelled that quick. Fear can either take you over and you're obsessed with it all night. Anybody been there? I've been there. Fear can either take you over and you'll be obsessed with it and it totally consumes you, or you can grab the Word of God and faith and say, now wait a minute. I remember, I am facing a big mountain here, but I do remember that hill over there, and I didn't think I could climb that, and I asked God to help me, and we got over that, and that whole thing is dispelled. It's interesting to me, Brian, how quickly Saul shifted. Faith dispels fear. Faith dispels fear. God's power kicks in at the speaking of faith. Mom was a giant killer. Okay, let's go back to the story a second. Restore what's been stolen from me. That lamb he tried to steal, I grabbed him and took it right out of his mouth. There's precious things that you dreamed of in your life, and the enemy has stolen it from you. There's things in your life that you hoped for as a young man or woman, and we've chosen the wrong path. Been there. We chose the wrong path, and it was stolen from us. We sing, "You redeem, you redeem." He'll restore what's been stolen from you. David said, "I went back, took that lamb. I took it right out of his mouth." Robbie, God can go back and restore stuff back to you that you feel are lost and gone forever. For some of you, it's happiness. You think, I lost that a long time ago. I've made so many mistakes, or my marriage is such a mess, I'm never going to be happy. Begin praying, "Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation." Does that sound familiar? That's in the book of Psalms. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The thief comes to steal and take away. God wants to restore what's been stolen from you. I know I'm jumping around, but there's a lot of good stuff here. There's a lot of good stuff here. And I'm using discipline jumping around because I got a bunch more jumping around I want to do. There's so many good things in this. All right, let's go back to Mom for a minute. A woman of commitment. A woman of prayer. Stay with me. This is heavy. I want to challenge the women in this church. This is Mother's Day. I want to challenge the women in this church to get a new grip on prayer. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. How many people believe that prayer is powerful? Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you get on track on the commitment, prayer is enhanced by faithfulness. Now, you can call out to God for mercy in your worst state and He'll hear you. You can call out to God for mercy in your worst state and He'll hear you. But when you get into a practice of commitment, I have it in this order for a reason. When you get committed to the Lord and you live a pattern of faithfulness, and Patty, I'm not glorifying you here, but there's a time to say things, and you're going ahead and you're praising Him when things are going all south, and you're praising Him when you're sitting in a house with nothing in there, and the cabinet's pretty empty, and no paycheck coming in, and you're still giving Him praise, and you're still trusting Him, okay? Prayer is more effective when there's a commitment. Does that make sense? Is that scriptural? Yes. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." As you confess your sins, as you choose to make a commitment, and you start through life, and there's some giants for sure, but they're taken down by prayer and God's Word. This was sent to me this week. This is awesome. Isn't that cool? I love that. "Be the kind of woman that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, 'Oh no, she's up.'" I love it. Now, we're not trying to be cute here or play superwoman or into that vein of thinking. Virginia Robbins was the sweetest, most hospitable, kind, supportive woman to her husband you ever saw in your life. She was. But I do believe, Pam, that when Mom got up, the devil said, "Oh no, she's up." Because Mom, in her older years, and you can't do that sometimes when you got to punch in at 6, but Mom in her older years spent the first 3 hours of the morning in prayer. She said to me one time with tears running down her face, she said, "Tom, I can't do much anymore, so I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your grandkids, and I'm praying for your great-grandkids." She said, "I'm already praying for the kids that aren't born yet." Sometimes when I look at my grandkids and I say, "Lord, thank you for your blessing," God says, "I am faithful. Your mother prayed for unborn kids." Your best battle is in your prayer closet. Are you listening? Mothers, women, and of course this applies to everybody, but this is Mother's Day. Father's Day is coming. Your best fighting and battle comes from your prayer closet. I was wayward as a young man. My mom knew I was called to the ministry. I told you last week in the message about the time that I was on my chopper pulling out and leaving, and she came out and grabbed the front fork of that motorcycle because I was going somewhere I shouldn't go, and tears were running down her face, and she said, "I'm praying for you, and you're called to be a minister." I had the most miserable evening of my life. It ruined the party, I'm telling you. I rode away and let out the clutch, and unfortunately, and I'm mad at myself this day, I jerked the fork out of her hand, and she stood there crying, and I rode off. But Vince, I never went to the party I was going to because I rode around all evening out by the reservoir. because God began reminding me that when I was 8 years old, he spoke to me and said, "You're supposed to be a messenger for me." Now, I'm just being honest. That's what he said. He didn't just say pastor. He said, "You're to be a messenger for me." Wow. Am I humbled by that? To this day at 64 years old, I am humbled by that. Mom knew that her best fighting was done in the prayer closet. And she had told me later that she went back into the mobile home that night and spent the evening in prayer while I was riding in circles and thinking, but my heart was breaking inside, and God reaffirmed me, even though I didn't straighten up at that point. Did you hear that? People with wayward kids, are you listening? Even though I didn't straighten up at that point, when she told me the story later, God was dealing with me that whole evening. God's working when you don't know he's working. Okay? Your prayer closet is your war room. I love this. Be the kind of woman who, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, she's up." When Mom passed away, I'll never forget it. It was the sweetest thing. Honestly, that was 19 years ago. I'm 64, so what would that be? How's my math? 45. Okay. I was 45. I didn't know if I'd go on. Honestly. And I wasn't a mommy's boy, run around, had to run to mommy all the time. I didn't realize the cheerleader, Vince, this lady was. Do you know that when you battle in prayer in the prayer closet, you create a spiritual force against the enemy? Mom was doing that all the time. I was benefiting from it, didn't even know it. The first time I preached after she passed, I felt different. And I even made the statement, some of you remember, Brian, I see you nodding your head. Some of you remember, I made the statement, I said, "I don't know if I can preach without the lady here." And I wasn't insecure about preaching. That was my gift. But the prayer behind it is what gave it the teeth. Are you with me? And I never will forget, I was struggling after Mom died. What am I talking about? Being a powerful woman of prayer, taking down the giants. The enemy is a giant. He does. We're not glorifying him, but we're saying, we're speaking a fact. Now that giant, the end of that story is he came down, got his head cut off. Okay? What we're doing here at CMO, he's against it. He doesn't want us telling people that are on their last leg and ready to take their own life that there's hope in Jesus and you can start over. He doesn't want that. Warfare. Become a woman of prayer. A woman of commitment. I never will forget, after Mom died, I was struggling with this. And it's just us here, so I'll tell you. Two ladies, is just cute as could be. I looked over here, and here's two ladies standing side by side like this, with their hands behind them. They're just smiling. I care. It was Cindy Hardinger and Kathy Reese. And they said, "Come here, man." So we come down there, and they said, Kathy, I think, is the one spoke first. She said, "We don't know if we can fill the spot, but together we would like to try to fill this spot that your mom had." I started crying. They said, "We've got together and talked, and we're going to pray for you. And it's going to take at least both of us to make up for her. But we want you to know that we're making a commitment that God has spoken to us to pray." Ain't that cool? I noticed a difference when that started. And if you remember the history when we were over at Skinner Chapel in the other location, there was a time when we started the prayer tent. That was after that. I began realizing I need to be having these two ladies pray for other people because they're that burdened and God's laid this on their heart. Others need to benefit from this too. And we set up the prayer tent outside, remember? And people would go in before service and have prayer in there. Okay. Prayer makes a difference. I can remember during those days after my leukemia incident where God healed me, and I believe that was all tight. I won't go into that this morning. But I can remember Sunday mornings when we'd have open altar over there. Wendy, you'll remember this. Over there at Skinner Chapel, and there would be 40, 50 people across the front. There was no place to kneel. That isn't because I'm a good preacher. No, sorry, I'm not that good. That's because there's somebody doing warfare, pushing back the enemy so the Spirit of God can flow easier. Does that make sense to you? Now, we're not scared of the enemy. We rebuke him in Jesus' name. But we do know he is a force to be reckoned with. But we also know that with five smooth stones and a shepherd's bag, Andre, he came down and fell over backwards. Now, stay with me. It's the stones that took him down. But Don, what killed him? Sword. Now, don't give me credit for this next profound point because it came from Don. Don sent it to me. That's good stuff. Lord gave it to you. I know that. Yeah. Virginia trained you too. The stones took him down, right? He said, you're not defying the army. His reason was right. He wasn't trying to show off. It was none of those reasons. His brother accused him, you just want to come down here and see the fight. No. He said, how can this guy speak out against God? What's the matter with you people? Haven't you seen God? You know, he'll give back what's stolen. I took a lamb out of the bear's mouth and out of the lion's mouth, and he took off after him, and he said, he called him out. Now, it was the stones that took him down because God guided those smooth stones and it hit him right here in the center of the forehead and he went down. But it was the sword that killed him, Dan. It says that David ran to him and he was knocked out on the ground and David drew the sword and cut his head off. They didn't mess around in those days. And I like Don's point about this. He paralleled that beautifully with Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm not going to go into all that this morning. We pray me another time. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And I am going to read that. Oh, I got this. See my Bible still? That comes in handy because it came apart. If I can find the page here. This, I won't ever get rid of this Bible because it was the one that was on my hospital bed table. Finally, be strong in the Lord. We're reading from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood and against rulers and against authorities, against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. That's what we're fighting. This thing you're fighting isn't necessarily a physical thing. It may be manifesting itself. These problems at work, this giant at work, this situation you're dealing with, it might manifest itself in a physical way, but what's behind it because you're a Christian is he's trying to take you down with that. Are you with me? We need to recognize that. When we become a Christian, we enter a new realm. When we become committed and become a person of prayer, we enter a new realm. So Wayne, that stuff that looks like, Audrey, you've been through this as well, that stuff that looks like physical stuff, oh man, this is tough to deal with. There's really something behind that. We recently had a hit we took here at the church. And I said to the leaders, without apology, I said, there's something behind this stronger than physical things. This is not an opinion difference. The enemy has gotten behind this. I feel it, okay? The schemes of the enemy. Now, put on the full armor of God so when the evil day comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Boy, that sounds like David, doesn't it? And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth. The belt of truth buckled about your waist and the breastplate of righteousness and with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith. So that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation. Now, I'm not going to go into that today. That's a topic for another time. But Don has a great comparison here. He compares the five smooth stones of David's to these five pieces of armor. It's good. So you that like to study, take that and pick up on that. I'm not going to talk on it this morning, but that's good stuff. The five smooth stones of David's are the five pieces of armor. But I'm going to use self-discipline and not go off on that. It's hard, but I'm going to try. Okay, now listen. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The stones took him down, but the sword cut his head off. Are you with me? The stones took him down, but the sword cut his head off. And what does it say in Ephesians? We're talking 1 Samuel and Ephesians. Isn't it neat how the Bible truths are all woven together? It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, and this in mind. Okay, this does all tie together. We're not just having ADD morning. This does all tie together. A woman of prayer. So the giant was killed how? With the sword. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So what is a godly woman? What is a powerful woman that can take back what's been stolen from her and God bring that back to her? It's someone that recognized that their warfare is in their secret closet. And that their warfare is the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit. I've been trying to teach you here in recent weeks, and many of you already know it, but some of you don't, to use the Word of God against the enemy. Guys, when you're out on the street and lust is before you and it's everywhere and it's pushed on you, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. He that looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. The power of the Word. Use the sword of the Spirit. When you become a woman of prayer and a woman of God's Word, you become very powerful. And this isn't some cute saying anymore. This is the real deal. Be the kind of woman who, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, oh no, she's up. Virginia's going to her room for 3 hours. How can I disrupt the Robbins family? Paul's a minister. Jim, who went on to be with the Lord, was a minister. And Tom's a minister. The girls in the family are all involved in some kind of ministry. How can we disrupt the Robbins family? Mom is in the prayer closet in the morning, and she's not physically strong, and she isn't real good shape in her older years, and she's in her late 70s, and her health is failing. But there's a warfare going on because God hears the prayers. Does that make sense? Please don't be offended by the following statement. But don't buy into the, we got to be so macho as men and women. Boy, and that's how we bust through things. No, it's through kneeling down and saying, Lord, I need you to work in my life. I need you to take back what's been stolen from me. My kids have been stolen from me. My joy has been stolen from me. My purity has been stolen from me. I'm telling you something, God will give you a clean slate. He'll take down that giant and use the Word of God against him, and he'll cut his head off, and that'll be the end of it. I'm going to probably pass away preaching one of these days. That'd be a good way to go, though. Not being cute. That'd be a good way to go. I feel this stuff to my feet. Why? Because it works. It works. It absolutely works. Vince, if there was ever a meth head in manufacture, this guy that's our addictions pastor. I'm the only guy in the state of Indiana that has an addictions pastor, and I love it. And that's his type. You've heard his testimony. When he went to prison, he's so messed up from meth, he couldn't walk straight, couldn't form a sentence. And everybody thought he was just bashful and quiet because he couldn't form a sentence and put words together. You heard him preach the last time and heard him use God's Word. Tell me that God doesn't take giants down. Tell me God doesn't give back what's been stolen from you. He'll give back what's been stolen from you. Be the kind of woman when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, oh no, she's up. Oh boy, I jumped all over the place. See where my notes say here. Write down these two passages if you wouldn't mind to read this week. 1 Samuel 17, some of you haven't been here before. 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 51 is the story of David and Goliath. And then Ephesians 6 is the comparison. And I love what Don sent me and the Lord gave him that. Think in terms of the 5 smooth stones. And there's a real great analogy there. How does a stone get smooth? How does a stone get smooth? Years of water. years of the creek rushing across it. Anybody going through trials? How does a stone get smooth? Years of the creek rushing over at the mountain stream and white water, and it becomes smooth, but they tell me a smooth stone flies straighter. Interesting, five smooth stones. In his shepherd's bag, he had to be himself. His stones knocked the giant down, but the sword killed him. And the sword, Ephesians 6, the word of God. Become a woman of prayer, commitment, obedience. Let me run that back. A woman of commitment, a woman of prayer, a woman of faith, a woman of obedience to God's word, the sword. A humble woman with a servant's heart. I have here, Mom wouldn't like this message because it's about her. She had a humble spirit. We got to be careful when we take a few giants down because we can get smarty pants. We're all susceptible. That happens in ministries. We've all seen it. It makes you sad. You'll see a ministry that's just booming and God's really used them, and boy, they get high on themselves. One of the reasons we've lost healings like Jesus used to do is because we showboat it. Jesus was moved with compassion. That's why he touched somebody. He'd heal somebody, Amber, and then say, don't tell anybody. That seems odd. Now we say, heal somebody, tell everybody. Have TV cameras come in and let's show this to everybody what we can do. Then we lose the power. And he takes it away because he doesn't trust us with it anymore. Jesus would see a blind man and it'll say he was moved with compassion and went to him. The motive's got to be right. And when we get back to the right motive, we'll see some things happen that will stun you. The church has gone astray. Mother's Day, women, let's go back to being a woman of commitment, a woman of prayer, a woman of faith, a woman of obedience to God's word, a humble woman with a servant's heart. I'm going to read this one more time. Be the kind of woman who, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, oh no, she's up. Spiritual battle. Our stones can knock Goliath down, but it takes the sword to kill him. All right, this is the closing part. See, I told you I was going to talk real short. That's supposed to be funny. He can restore what's been stolen from you. Take your life back. Take your kids back. Take your honor back. Take your calling back. Some of you when you're younger probably felt a tug of God in your heart like I did, and you felt you were called to something. Take your calling back. The thief will take it away. And here you are, 40 years old, 45 years old, 50 years old, 35 years old, whatever you are, and you look down and you say, I lost that somewhere. That melted out. That melted out. I got caught up and went other directions. Give me my calling back. And you say, yeah, but I've burned out most of my life. Will you listen to me and believe me, please? God can do more in your life in 2 years than you can in 30. Are you with me? God can do more in your life in 2 years than you can in 30. He's a master at restoring things. Take your purity back. Take your dream back. What was your dream at some point? I'm not talking about some frivolous dream of childhood. I'm talking about what was that thing in your heart that you dreamed of? This is what I want. And recently, and I want to be ever so cautious with it, there's a couple in this church I dearly love that recently confessed to me that they needed to get their hope back. That the thief had stolen their hope, and there were things they were hoping in God, and the thief came in. I've been there. I have been there. Anybody lost your hope before? And you say, man, I've prayed about this for 15 years, and ain't nothing happening. It's getting worse. God's working when you don't know He's working. The night my mother was in the prayer room doing battle and thought that I went off to a crazy wild party, I couldn't go. Because I was hurting so bad inside, and I was riding the reservoir, the back roads, just riding. I spent the entire evening riding. And during that riding that night, I remember recalling my call to the ministry at 8 years old, and I cried. I remember crying that night and thinking, man, I don't feel right. I just don't feel right. Because I knew that God had called me to be a messenger, and I'm messing it up. Take your calling back. Take it back. Take your dream back. Your gifts and abilities. Substances in your life can dampen your gifts and destroy your abilities, and He can give it back. He can make beauty from ashes. We have it at the end of the building outside. Isaiah 61's on there for a reason. He's come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring deliverance to them in bondage. And then down a few verses later, it says He'll give you beauty for ashes. May I say that He'll give you your beauty back? Have you ever seen somebody? You know, how you live shows on your face. Especially when you get about 50. Really shows on your face. I've seen people come to Christ and become a woman of prayer. And they got prettier. I can't wait to see what Pam's going to look like in her 10 or 15 years. When she's 80, oh, it'd be unbelievable. God will give your beauty back. Inner beauty, outer beauty. He'll give it back to you. He'll restore what's been... It wasn't God's will to have this mess. Are you listening? I get so tired of people blaming God for everything. He didn't have nothing to do with it. He did a risky thing. He gave us a power of choice. And we said, don't tell me what to do. I'll write my own rules. Oh, so how's that working out? So I'm not trying to be smart, Alec, but how's that working out? I said to a judge one time, and I said it respectfully, he didn't like our faith-based thing. I said, well, how's what you guys doing working? You know, I mean, the jails are all running over, and it doesn't seem to me like, sir, your honor, it doesn't seem to me like that's working real well. We've touched on a bunch of things this morning, but I asked the Lord to guide me, and I believe He has, and He knows everybody here, and I don't know that stuff. I'm not smart enough to know what to preach on. This particular ministry has more diverse crowd than anywhere we've ever been. There's people here that have been Christians for 40, 50 years. There's people here that they've never heard the gospel before, and everything in between with every background. So I always say, Lord, give me what to say. And I trust Him that He has. But I want to tell you that this, He can give your life back. God didn't intend for this mess to be that we have. He didn't. He put man and put him in a beautiful garden. He was supposed to live forever. And you know why now the racial penalty for sin is death? Because He didn't want us to live forever in our sins. You know? Originally in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were supposed to live forever. My understanding. But when sin came in, oh boy, we got a mess now. And the tempter came and drew Adam and Eve away, and mankind since has continued to choose the wrong way. But He can give back what's been stolen. I'm going to put this back up here. Oh, no, I guess I'm not. It just went off. So we'll shut that off. I think that means I'm done. And they all said, good. Okay, let's stand together for prayer.